Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7. It says to the exiles that had gone off into Babylon, it says to them also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Speaking there to the exiles, that when they went off into Babylon, one thing they were supposed to do is they were not supposed to go over there and rebel against the Babylonian authority. Now, remember, the Babylonians were a heathen nation. They worshipped idols. They worshipped foreign gods. But God told the Jews, or the Israelites, when they left to go into captivity by the prophet Jeremiah, you go there and you pray for that nation. Because what we want to happen in that nation is prosperity and peace, and many things would take place. It was not to go over there and rebel and tell them that they're all heathen, they're all going to hell, but to stand up and pray for them. Now let's go to 1 Timothy, to the New Testament, to where we're looking at today in our scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We've gone through chapter 1. We've begun chapter 2. And I'll begin in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. That's what we talked about last week, the types of prayer. Prayer for everyone. And it goes on here and says now, verse 2, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So the prayers were to be sent up for kings and all those in authority. The reason for that was that the nation that they're living in would prosper and have peace. Why have prosperity and peace? Because those are two things that are very beneficial in spreading the gospel and for teaching people the things of God. One, prosperity. It's a lot easier to take the gospel to places and present the gospel to places when you've got some kind of financial backing, when you've got some kind of, you're not worrying about food. You know, if your main concern is just food, trying to provide for people, you know, your time gets consumed. But in a prosperous nation, for example, the United States has been a prosperous nation for many years, and because of that, we've been able to afford to go out to the rest of the world and bring the gospel. The other thing was peace. A nation that is torn apart with war is not real conducive for the gospel presentation. When your churches are being bombed and things, it's kind of hard to have a church service. So there's two things that Paul encourages Timothy to encourage the people to do is pray for peace and prosperity, similar to what we saw in the Old Testament with Jeremiah. What I'd like to talk about today is that word authority for kings and all those who have authority. We need to begin in Genesis. Go to the book of Genesis. And there are, what we're going to say here, are five divine institutions. In Genesis, just go to Genesis chapter 9. And this is where we're introduced to what we're going to call the fourth divine institute. Or the fourth divine institution. These are things that God has ordained to take place in our world, in all nations, and all around the world. That God says, this is what I expect, this is what I think is okay. It's not just for the believers, it's for anybody that is a person that's been born on the planet. These are four or five things that God sees as being a good thing for him. The first thing out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 16 is called volition, free will. Every person has free will. They should be free to make their own choices on where they work, where they eat, where they worship, what they worship. That is what God says, you have free will. It's your choice. And that is something, a divine institute that should be protected and should be followed through with. The second one is marriage. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. Marriage is a divine institute. It's something that God says, this is good, this is okay, I bless marriage. Not just believers that are married, but people that say, well, I don't even want to follow God. God says, that's okay. You can still be married and live a heathen life if that's what you choose to do. Live, eat, and be merry, and I'll bless you in your whatever you want to do. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? God just says this is for people around the world. First one was free will. Second was marriage. The third is family. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. That the family, a married couple with a family, is a divine institute, meaning this is good. God says this is good for all people. The third thing that we see in Genesis chapter 9, it began when Noah got off the ark, and it's going to lead us up to what we're talking about today. The fourth divine institute, things that God says is what I expect, what I like. And whenever you come against any of these things, you are coming against God's will. And this is not my opinion. This is what God has put down for us. And by knowing these things, we can begin walking or continue walking in line with God. One was free will. Two was marriage. Three was family. That does not mean everybody has to be married. Everybody has to have a family. That means these are things that when you're walking this way, this is good. The fourth thing here is called government. no matter how people think about it, what they want to do with it. It begins right here in Genesis chapter 9, verse 5, and I'll read it right here. It says, when Noah got off the ark, it was something that hadn't been around before. Men, at this up to this point, there was no form of government. Men just did what they thought was right. You may have a family feud. You know, if someone killed somebody, then you know somebody's brother would go back and kill him. There was no authority. There's no government. But when they got off the ark, God institutes government. It says in verse 5, And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal. And from each man, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Verse 6, this is where he begins it. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. A very scary thought. What it's saying there is if a man kills someone or shed blood, it's a capital punishment, then there should be some kind of a court system, which would be man, that would then follow through, find the guilty party, and then enforce the punishment. A very scary thought, because up till this time, man was not given the authority to judge other people. Now again, we're not talking about private individual, private citizens bringing about judgment, but some kind of a governmental authority that will be responsible. And we're going to see how this is put together. It is under God's authority that God put these governments in. If you go then, God begins government at this point. It goes on and talks about other things there. But in Genesis chapter 10 and 11, we find the fifth thing, the fifth institute, and that is nations. Because out of Genesis chapter 9, they formed one major nation, is under the rulership of Nimrod, and is a one-world government, led the whole thing down the tubes, and God says, no more, and he began what was called the 70 nations in Genesis chapter 10. After the Tower of Babel, he divides things up and says, now every nation is going to have their own identity. This is going to give God a better chance of having a representation on the earth. Because if you've got one government and one major person or one group, major group of people leading that one government, if that government goes downhill, the whole world goes downhill. But if you can get 70 nations, the chances that somebody in that nation, or one of those nations that's going to be a godly nation, will stand up, and that's where God then chooses Israel and has a nation of Israel to take the gospel to everybody else. In our time today, there's different nations that God chooses through history. And I believe very strongly that the United States has been a nation that God has prospered, has provided peace, so that we could take the gospel to other nations, because we have been a godly nation. So those are five institutes I wanted to point out. Once again, freedom, marriage, family, government, and nations or nationalities. And anytime someone or some group comes against any of those five things, just put up a red flag, they're coming against the will of God. So the United States of America, according to the Scripture, and the government of the United States of America, is a divine institute. They are supposed to be here. Our nation is supposed to be a nation. There's no reason for a national meltdown around the world where we all become one big happy family. That is not what God intended. It's going to take place. In the book of Revelation, it takes place. And one world leader will come back again, and that will be the Antichrist. It's all through the book of Revelation. It is not something you need to fight against or resist. It's just something that you don't want to get caught catching yourself promoting a nationalism where we're all are anti-nationalism. The reason I'm saying these things is, number one, we're bumped into the word authorities here in chapter 2 of Timothy. And there's something taking place in our nation right now that is not to be concerned about, but to be aware of. And here, just for example, the U.S. News, it's April 24th. It's got a picture of Pat Roberts on the front. It says, for God's sake, religious conservatives think their time has come. Now, again, I try very careful not to present my opinion, but to present the Word of God and present the truth of the Word of God. And hopefully we can see some things here. There's nothing, I'm not saying anything's wrong with this, nothing's wrong with Pat Robertson, or any of these things that are taking place. But there's so many, right now, there's so many things kind of coming to a head right here in the nation. We've had a time of maybe what you may want to call liberalism and people going away from the Word of God. And now the Christian coalition is coming up. And there is a danger here. The church of God is not the government. We are not the government. If we were the government, we'd be given instructions on how to run the government. Instead, we are given instructions to pray for the government, to pray for the authorities, to support the authorities, and help them and bring the light to the world. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. These are what you're supposed to do is be in the nations. When the Jews went into captivity to Babylon, they didn't go over there to take over the government. They went over there to pray and support the government, and through their prayers and their light and their salt, they would go ahead and they'd bring a spice in that government that would lead people to God. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar himself gets born again, accepts the Lord, and is a believer, dies as a believer, and is in heaven today. Nebuchadnezzar, because of one man mainly, and that's Daniel, and Daniel living in his court. Because Daniel came and lived in the palace with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's life was changed. Took several encounters, but it did work. Daniel worked under Nebuchadnezzar. He never tried to usurp his authority and take over the government. Now, what has taken place, for example, in this, when you start going with the religious right and the Christian coalition and these things on this side over here, I can't even say I've got an opinion. I just have heard things, and you've heard things. Right now there's a great alarm across the nation, especially with the bombing of the federal buildings, because there is this, to some people, the religious right, the Christian, or the right extremists, whatever, are all the same group. If you stand up and say, I believe the Bible to be true, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that is saying to some people, that's sending a red flag up to some people, that you are an extremist that might be bombing federal buildings. Because the federal government sometimes is portrayed as being anti-Bible, anti-Jesus Christ. And I just want to, you know, as we go through this, help you understand that we are here to support the government. We are here to be the light and the salt of the world, and by no means do we want to get into a position where I'm afraid it's going to happen, where the Christians are seen as an enemy of the state. I did a teaching one time on church history, and I won't have time to read through all of them, but I have got listed here 13 reasons why the Christians were persecuted in early Rome. Some of it was spiritual reasons because they were the Church of Jesus Christ and Satan was trying to stomp it out. But when you read through this, some of the things they're being persecuted for was because they're arrogant, because they were snotty, because they rebelled against the government, because they wouldn't follow the rules, because we're God's people. We don't have to follow the rules. And the emperor just says, well, we'll kill you then. Because they saw where they were seen as enemies of the state. And I guess as we go through this, I want to encourage you that we are members of a nation that God has ordained, with a government that God has ordained. And our job is to live in that nation, live in that government, pray for it. And of course, everything that's going to take place is not going to be fair. Notice that Paul writes here, to pray for everyone, for kings and all those who have authority. The king at this time, or the emperor, was Nero. Nero is going to have Paul in prison a couple of times and is going to have him executed. So Paul is not saying anywhere in here that the government is always fair or the government is always right. He is saying that we need to follow the government as far as it goes. I want to go to the book of Acts and the book of Romans real quick, but Acts chapter 5, and here's a principle for you to follow and keep in mind. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. An excellent thing. Because I am not saying that we just shut our eyes and just follow the government off the end. Where if they just, you know, they want to go, they want to burn Bibles, burn churches, well, you know, I guess that's what we got to do. If they say you can't preach the gospel anymore, oh, well, I guess we can't preach the gospel anymore. The government is to be honored and respected because there are authorities. But at the same time, they are our authorities. They have been placed in position by another higher power, God Himself. And God reserves certain rights for Himself. He is God. And there are things that government can never do, should never do. And when they infringe upon those rights and they start acting as if they are God, that is where the Christian would have to draw the line and say, I'm sorry, but you have now crossed your line. You cannot tell me these things. For example, and you don't have to do this by bombing a federal building. You know, you can just say, well, put me in jail. Or in Nero's time, execute me. I can't compromise on this issue. And that may be the case. If it leads to a good example of this is in Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be cast into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar himself had made. He said, hey, bow down and worship this. If you don't, I'll throw you in the fire. And they said this, and this is what always will take place when things get to this extreme case. They says, our God is able to deliver us from the fire, but if He is not going to do it, we still won't worship it. And the result of when the government crosses the line, and they say, and we haven't seen it in our nation in any kind of extreme case, there are other nations that this is taking place in and has taken place in the history, where they cross the line or where they're acting as God, then you need to take a stand and say, I can't do that. That infringes upon what God has required of me. And the result is going to be one of two things. It will be your death, or it will be a miraculous deliverance. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego headed for that fiery furnace, not knowing which one it was going to take place. Either we're going to be delivered miraculously from this fire because we're standing on God's side, or we're going to enter into eternity in just a few moments. And that's exactly where it was. They didn't have to kill anybody. They didn't have to burn a building. They just accepted the fact, and their testimony was laid out before them. And that I believe, is a very good way of going. Here in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostles early in their ministry were told to stop preaching about Jesus Christ, that to just shut up about this Jesus guy, it's causing too much turmoil. The problem with that was Jesus had told them to go into all the nations and preach this very thing. Well, now the nations say, we want you to stop. And here's what their response was. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him," and he goes through and talks about these things. And his point was this. God has given us a mission. He's told us we must preach. You've told us we can't preach. Now you decide, what should we do? Should we listen to God, who's your authority, or should we listen to you, who's usurping the authority of God? Well, we're going to go with God. And if you need to kill us, kill us. And that was their response. Now, they were not talking about a stop sign. They were not talking about paying taxes. They were not talking about some other kind of regulation in the government. They were talking about something. Listen, a stop sign, God does not care where stop signs are put. If the stop sign's there, that's the government's authority. You stop. Well, I don't believe that's God's will. But don't tell God that, because he's not interested in the stop sign, if I can say it that way. Of course, he's interested in everything. But he's left the stop signs up to the government. He's left the taxation up to the government. Well, we pay too much taxes. Well, pray about it then. But the government says pay taxes. You pay taxes. Remember the story about Jesus. Jesus was needed taxes. They went out. There were several times where he was recorded as paying taxes. When he got money out of a fish mouth. Another time they brought a coin. Says, you know, they're trying to get this very thing. They're trying to get the Christian coalition to come in contact with the Roman government so the Roman government would put down the Christian coalition. And they said, what should we do? Should we pay taxes? And Jesus took a coin, flipped it, and says, here you go. Whose image is on this? Caesar's. Well, give it to Caesar. It's his money. God don't need it. And it's like there's a line there. If government prints money, they want it back, you give it back. If you don't like it, go to another country. You see, if you're going to follow the authority, you follow the authority. In Romans, a very good principle here, and we'll read this and we'll wind this up today. Romans chapter 13, and I am sorry if this is, I'll listen to the tape and see if it sounded good or not, but I'm just trying to, say what I believe the scriptures are pointing out. And here it says right here, chapter 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Yeah, but this is Paul writing to the Romans in the city of Rome where Nero's ruling. Everyone must, but he's burning people. He sticks them on a stake, dips them in tar, and lights them on fire. So, you must submit yourself to the governing authorities, or else leave Rome. If you don't like it, get out. You're not here to govern the world. You're here to be salt and light. You need to pray for them. You need to witness to people. You need to bring... Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. He didn't say go into all the world and, make everybody, every nation a Christian government. They're the government. Some are, some aren't. That's not the mission of the church, to govern the world. Jesus Christ will govern the world. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he'll do it in the millennium. And he will govern, it says, with an iron fist, basically. He says he will set down the laws and he'll enforce the laws. People will be forced to bring and worship him. But it goes on and says, for there is no authority, this is a tough one, there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, we're not just talking about government officials. We can come all the way down, folks, to high school coaches, teachers, parents, authorities. Anytime you're in an authority position, a person in authority over you, God says right here, I have placed them there. Your job is to follow them. If they conflict with God's will, then you need to then leave the situation. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And remember the five divine institutions that we just mentioned. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And I guess I one of my points here today is I'm afraid that I like our government. I think there's things that we can improve in our government. I think our government has gone away from Christian principles. But when you start seeing, this is okay, but sometimes when you read this, there's a sense of a military approach to it, a takeover, if you would. And if we go outside of our bounds, it says right here, those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. some of these people are going to end up getting themselves in trouble unnecessarily because they're going to go outside the bounds of just being a Christian in a nation, being the salt and light. You remember Jesus? They wanted, that was one of Judas's problems. Judas wanted Jesus to lead a revolt. He wanted a revolt. He hoped that maybe he could cause a revolt from Jesus when he got him trapped. That's why he went out and hung himself. It's like he was so disillusioned. It's like Jesus never did lead the revolt. He never did overthrow the Roman government. No. Jesus came to bring salvation, to bring light and salt to the world, and to leave it there and let it grow. Let it happen. Let the church develop. Change people's lives. Change the government from within. And it, a lot of people left Jesus. And a lot of people that followed Jesus for 3 years, that were his supporters, that talked about him being the king, that said many great things about him, when he would not overthrow the government, and he had the power, obviously, he can make bread whenever he wants to, he can walk on water, he can heal the sick, he can certainly do whatever he wants to do. Why won't he do it? Why won't he? Then they turned against him. And they're the ones in the crowd shouting, crucify him. Because we want him to take over the government. Jesus says, I'm not going to take over the government now. Someday I will. But right now, we have another mission to do. Remember, as we close, you are the salt. And salt has got several purposes. It was used as a preservative in the ancient world. It preserved things from corruption. Meat would be put in salt or kept with salt, and it wouldn't rot. Why do you think Jesus used the word, you are the salt? Because your presence in the United States of America, your presence in the United States of America is keeping it from corruption. It's a fact. Because you're here. Your impact, if it's where you work, where you live, who you see, how you pray, is keeping the United States from just turning into a dead corpse. And it's trying. Also, salt was used as for flavoring. We use it for flavoring. Life is drab. Life without Jesus Christ it's hell. It will result in hell, damnation, and people without Jesus Christ are living that today. They're already condemned, it says in the book of John. Your presence in their life, you rubbing shoulders with them, the salt that you bring is the flavoring. It gives them hope. They don't know it sometimes, but they see hope. They have flavor. You take the Christians off the planet, you know what's going to happen? The tribulation, 7 years of satanic rule on the earth. Yeah, a lot of people get born again, desperation. But when the Christians are gone, hell hits the earth. Just boom, it's there today. If you're here today, that's why it's not taking place today. The light of the world. People are walking in darkness. Your light, your presence changes. Remember, you are the salt and light. We need to pray for our nation. We need to support our nation and find out where that line is. When they cross a line, then you may have to go to the fire. You may have to sacrifice your life. Or you may have to leave the country. But there's not a better country, I don't believe, on the planet than the United States of America. We need to pray for it, pray for our peace, pray for prosperity, make sure you're salt and light. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that we may be productive citizens. We pray that we may bring about the things that you have for us to do here on the earth. We thank you for our church. We ask that we may prosper, and we ask that our nation may have peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.